you listen to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel. Good morning. Today we will begin studying the book of James. We have finished studying Romans and Hebrews and have concluded that in these books that Paul was emphasizing faith. Now, James is a book that some could say was written in response to the faith doctrine because it says faith without works is dead. But that would not be the case because Paul did not write Romans and Hebrews until after James was already written. The book of James was written between 45 and 50 A.D., Romans around 60 A.D., and Hebrews after 64 A.D., So James was written first, then Romans and Hebrews. It is no accident in the sequence of when these books were written. I believe that Paul wrote Romans to set the record straight about what justifies the believer and that it was not of works, but it was by faith. We're studying these books out of the sequence that they were written, but we didn't want to begin our studies with James because we wanted to show you faith first before we show you works. That's what makes the scripture so amazing because it is the same with other books that were written. Most were written years apart from each other, and in many cases, the authors did not know each other, and yet the books complement each other. There is a rhyme and a reason and a theme all the way through the Bible that tells us the plan of God, even though the individual who wrote the book probably didn't understand the entire word. I mentioned that God revealed things to Paul that many thought was a new gospel, but it really wasn't. James talked about some of the things that Paul talked about. He talked about faith and works. James and Paul were not at odds with each other on the doctrine of justification. James also believed we are justified by faith, but he will put the emphasis on works more in his writings. James' contention is that if one has faith, he will have works. Works is the indicator that one has faith. Jesus also spoke at length about faith and works in the parables. When people came to Jesus for their healing, he mentioned whether they had great faith or little faith. He sometimes also told them to do some type of work, such as washing the mud from their eyes, or picking up their bed, or going to the temple and offering thanks by observing the temple rituals. Faith and works walk side by side, but faith is the first step in moving forward. Our emphasis today is on works supported first by faith in Christ. James takes the same position that Paul does when he says that it is faith that justifies us, but a prized workmanship of an artist points to his good works in his production. The work is the finished product. It is a vessel of honor to God when works follow faith. And without the works, the painting may not exist, even though God has provided all the things necessary for the painting to come into being. Our works show forth the salvation of the Lord. The book of James is not written to any particular church or group. It has been called a universal book because it's written to the entire body of Christ, even though it mentions in verse 1 the tribes of Israel that are scattered abroad. It is to all the laborers in Christ, so that means you and me. If you read any book in the New Testament, you will find that the writer is telling us duties that we should do in order to live for God. Duties are the same thing as works. It is what we should do. It's the right thing to do. My mother used to say, right is right and right will never wrong anyone. She would also say, the truth is the truth whether anyone lives it or not. I don't think those phrases originated with her, but they have stayed with me through the years. If we live for the Lord in faith, and have works, we will be rewarded. Lend to the poor, and I will repay you, the Lord says. We are to do what he would do if he walked in our place. The book of James has been compared to the book of Proverbs because it looks at the Christian walk from a practical point of view. It is common sense that we have works following if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also common sense that we should be called a righteous person. These believers in their sins and who brush them off as I sin every day philosophy have missed the point. I try not to sin every day. I'm striving to finish the race with some degree of dignity that I did my best and not just stumbled in. I am putting forth the effort whether I succeed or not. There is a learning experience, though, that the child of God must go through in walking by faith with works following. Now, it's not known exactly who wrote this book. There are three James mentioned in the scriptures. James, the brother of John, were apostles and were called the sons of thunder. It was their mother who asked Jesus if her sons could sit next to him in heaven at the throne of God. And many assume it was that James who wrote this book, but it was not him. Another James mentioned is James the Less. He was also listed among the apostles. Not much is known of him, but he is not believed to be the author. Most scholars believe it was the half-brother of Jesus named James because he was a minister and he was head of the church at Jerusalem. He calls himself a bondservant in verse 1. Even though he is the half-brother of Jesus, he does not use that to identify himself. He calls himself not just a servant, but a bondservant, meaning a slave. In verse 2, he speaks of joy. It is odd that he uses joy in connection with persecution. But we are to rejoice in times of distress because we have hope. Temptation means testing. Jesus had temptations. He was the Son of God, yet he was tested. His entire journey upon this earth was a test. He was obedient. His standing with God did not exempt him from being tested. He was tried and tested because he had the same human nature that you and I have, which facilitates being tempted. James discusses that God tests our faith. Now, the test of faith by trials is shown over and over in Scripture. The test is based on God's word and not by man's word. God is the one that says whether we pass the test or not. Man may judge us and tell us we failed when God says we passed because of our faithfulness. Our faith will tell us our progress. Our doing is the final test of our faith. Knowing God's word is not enough. We pass the test by doing God's word. We have to do the word of God if we say we belong to God. It's the doers of the word that he delights in. God does not ever test us or tempt us with evil. If evil has been done to you, God did not do it. He told us in Scripture, "I know my thoughts towards you, that they are good and not evil." God will test our faith in our actions. Actions speak louder than words. God does not necessarily look at the result, but he looks at the efforts we make in being a faithful servant and are doing our duty in all these things. James tells us we are to endure trials and we are to come forth with patience. Patience must have its complete work to be effective, and it is perfect when we can rejoice in our trials. Patience is proof positive that we have faith. The purpose of trials is to teach me long-suffering and patience. Even though I may have a tough time in my trials, it makes me know that it is God who strengthens me. To go through a trial in the fire is as ore that is tried in the flames. When it is tried, it comes out as gold, and when gold is completely purified, it is clear as glass, and you can see right through it. When we are tried, we shall come forth as pure gold. Verse 5 talks about wisdom. That is another correlation to the book of Proverbs. Full maturity in the Lord is not to lack wisdom. If we lack wisdom, we're to ask God to give it to us. We are to pray for wisdom. To be wise in trials is a special gift of God. We don't know what to do most of the time, and we have to depend upon God. But isn't that the wisest thing to do? To depend upon God when we don't know what to do? So the greatest wisdom of all is to trust in the Lord. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. One can study the Bible and still not have wisdom or common sense and know nothing about the plan of God. Wisdom can only come about by the Word of God and only by the Holy Spirit. Now in verse 5 he uses words like upbraideth not, which means scolding, double-minded, meaning undecided, or unstable, meaning confused. God is not the author of confusion. If we are confused, He's not the author of it. Look at the Scriptures to see what God authors. Romans says, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. God gives us wisdom liberally. He's not scolding nor punishing us if we don't have wisdom, but He wants us to ask for it. When we ask for wisdom, we are not to waver nor stagger at the promises of God. We are not to be sometimes lifted up by faith and then wring our hands in the next moment in despair. Verse 8 says, an unstable man is like the swells and the sinks of the waves of the ocean. This unsettled shifting of highs and lows in our faith is not likely to receive favor from God. So we are told to expect to receive when we ask of Him. Verses 9 through 11, James speaks about the test of humility. He uses words such as low degree, which means the poor, or made low, which means humiliated, humiliation. In verse 10, James tells the rich that their riches are only for a season. The rich person cannot trust in his riches for eternal life and is warned against pride because he will wither as the grass in the heat of the sun. He will also fade away in his ways if he trusts in his riches. It is the grace of God that will keep him humble in his trials. It is not a sin to be rich, but if we trust in our riches, we can be lost. Wealth comes from God, but the riches of our faith and works in Christ are far greater riches than the riches of money. In verse 12, James tells us about the test of endurance. A blessing is pronounced on those who endure trials. Not the man only who suffers that is blessed, but the one who endures. Afflictions, suffering, and temptations can be the way to blessings. There is a Chinese proverb that says, "May your days be interesting." That sounds like a blessing, but it is really a Chinese curse to say, "May your days be interesting," because it may be filled with troubles, though interesting, that may not be a blessing. Blessings come through trials and endurances. Doesn't sound right, does it? The truth is, we will have troubles in this life even if we are not a Christian. Jesus said, "To him that overcomes." We have this earthly mortal body of flesh, the human nature, to overcome in order to do the will of God. The crown of life is promised to all those who have the love of God reigning in their hearts. The positive side of living for God is to be comforted by God even in the sorrow and the sufferings of this world. Jesus is especially near the believer in the times of trials, even though the believer may feel he is many miles away and heaven is brass and he is alone. He's with us in our time of need. The reward is given to the one who endures testing and is approved afterwards. Verses 13 through 16, James tells us the source of temptation. The second part of James warns us that God does not test faith with evil. He also tells us not to blame God if we are tempted with evil. The reason we are tempted is because that we are drawn away by our own lust that is in a deceitful heart. Verse 13 tells us God is not the author of any man's sin. Some fall and want to blame it on God or anyone else but themselves. The devil made me do it. It was my husband, my wife, or my children that made me do it. Nobody's taking responsibility for their actions. That doesn't mean they don't have the responsibility, but they just don't want to take it and confess that the blame really lies within us and in that old corrupt nature. God does not tempt us with evil. He wants to bring out the best in us. But sometimes trials bring out the worst of us if we give up and we do not rely upon the Lord. We are not self-sufficient. We need God. In verse 15, James tells us the true cause of evil. That is where the blame lies. It is in the heart. It is in that corrupt body that I told you about, that deceitful heart. It's a flame that can be lit by some outward cause. The method of sin is to draw us away and entice us with evil. The heart is drawn away from that which is good toward evil. Sin draws us away from God. This enticement is done by degrees. It is cunning and deceiving when the devil draws us away. The word used here is to compel us. It is when the devil is successful to draw us away from God that our desires are then turned into pursuit of what we want that is evil. And when we achieve it, that is when we sin. When our desire turns into sin, it will bring forth death. Then sin implodes upon itself. It will destroy itself from within. Sin brings forth death. The end of the book tells us what happens to sin. Verses 14 through 15, James tells us what we should do. We are to restrain the lust, passions, desires of this mortal flesh that we are in, and we are to cast them from us. We must crucify this flesh that wants to entice us to do evil. We have to be swift to hear reason, slow to speak, with nothing spoken in wrath. We must govern our tongue and the passions of our heart. In verse 17, James tells us that God is the author of everything that is good. He is the Father of lights, of whom there is no variableness of turning. He cannot lie. He does not have faults. He's not double-minded, and he doesn't change as we do. Every good gift is from him. He gives us the light of reason, learning, and divine revelation when we ask of him. We have nothing good except what we receive from God. We are new creatures when we are begotten anew. A new creature in Christ Jesus when we are born again, and that regeneration comes only from God. In verses 19 through 27, James speaks about Christian living, hearing, and doing the Word of God. Verse 22, our faith is tested by the Word as to whether we do the Word or not. We are to look to the Word and obey it, which will lead to life. Verse 22, we are to hear the Word of God and to receive it with meekness. We are to yield to the Word of God to do it. If we are just hearers only and not doers of the Word, we deceive ourselves. We can lie to the whole world, but if we lie to ourselves, we have been most foolish. Be true to thine own self. Be honest with ourself. In verse 23, the goal is to learn God's Word and to bring forth fruit. He compares not doing the Word of God as someone who looks in a mirror and he sees the blemishes on his face, but the Word of God shows us spots of sin and faults in our heart. Verse 25 says how we're to hear the Word. We're to hear the Word through the law of liberty, and there are no bondages in this law. Verse 26 talks about a vain religion. If a man does not bridle his tongue, that religion is in vain. In a vain religion, there's much criticizing of others. Verse 27, James tells us that we are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. We have to understand what he's meaning by unspotted. It's not talking about being unspotted in our soul, because Christ lives there. He does not dwell with evil, but where he is, there is light. James is referring to the spots in our heart or our mind, in the flesh. He is not talking about our physical body and what we wear or how our outward appearance is dressed. He's talking about the appearance of our heart and mind. What dwells there? Is it evil? Then we have spots. We must pray and seek the Lord's cleansing by the Holy Spirit in daily cleansing from these things. We shake ourselves to walk uprightly. We are in this world, but we are not of it. In verse 27, he tells us what God really wants. True religion consists to be pure and holy. A holy life and a charitable heart is what he wants. Do everything as if in the presence of God. To help the poor and distressed is necessary to please God. To visit the fatherless and the widows in the time of their afflictions. The unspotted life may not seem so to this world, but to God the undefiled religion is to go further than respect of persons. How we treat others is the key to salvation. We are to have our mind on Jesus, but our hand must be reaching out to help the helpless. Now let's read James 1 in the New Living Translation. The title is Greetings from James. This letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's written to Jewish Christians scattered among the nations. Greetings. The next title is Faith and Endurance. Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. If you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask Him, and He will gladly tell you. He will not resent your asking, but when you ask Him, be sure that you really expect Him to answer. For a doubtful mind is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. People like that should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. They can't make up their minds. They waver back and forth in everything they do. Christians who are poor should be glad, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should be glad, for God has humbled them. They will fade away like a flower in the field. The hot sun rises and dries up the grass. The flower withers, and its beauty fades away. so also wealthy people will fade away with all of their achievements. God blesses the people who patiently endure testing. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. And remember, no one who wants to do wrong should ever say, "God is tempting me." God is never tempted to do wrong, and He never tempts anyone else either. Temptation comes from the lure of our own evil desires. These evil desires lead to evil actions, and evil actions lead to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect comes to us from God above, who created all heaven's lights. And unlike them, He never changes or casts shifting shadows. In His goodness, He chose to make us His own children by giving us His true word. And we, out of all creation, became His choice possession. The next title is Listening and Doing. My dear brothers and sisters, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Your anger can never make things right in God's sight. So get rid of all the filth and the evil in your lives and humbly accept the message God has planted in your hearts, for it is strong enough to save your souls. And remember, it is a message to obey, not just to listen to. If you don't obey, you're only fooling yourself. For if you just listen and don't obey, it is like looking at your face in a mirror but doing nothing to improve your appearance. You see yourself, and then you walk away and forget what you look like. But if you keep looking steadily into God's perfect law, that law that sets you free, and if you do what He says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're just fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and lasting religion in the sight of God our Father means that we must care for orphans and widows in their troubles and refuse to let the world corrupt us. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, we're so thankful for Your word. It is so rich and enlightening, Lord. It helps us want to obey You. It helps us see You, Lord, and how wonderful that You are. We pray, Father, that You would help us to obey You and to walk in truth and to be honest with ourselves. We ask, Lord, that You strengthen us. Give us the faith and the strength to live for You. We ask these things in Jesus' name, giving You glory. Amen. Well, we thank you for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again on our website at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word. It's a heavenly place, and He's laying